Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Internet's most hated mafia-themed geek podcast, Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It's I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and frontman. First off, before we get into the meat and potatoes of everything, let me apologize for the delay in posting this episode. It's been one hell of a weekend. A lot of things that happened. So we'll either post that up as a bonus episode or the episode next week. I'll have to decide. But now back into the meat and potatoes. Not only is this episode our final episode in covering the four state Comic-Con that happened back in at the end of April, beginning of May, but this also concludes our four state Comic-Con panel series with the Let's Make Some Movies panel featuring the man behind Absurd Productions, Mark Byrne, and as a co-presenter in this panel, Matt Burns, a regular on this whole show of ours. But let me just say this. Not only do they talk about the whole aspect of the 20 years of making movies, how independent movies are made, distributed, the ins and outs of everything in regards to being an independent filmmaker, let me just say the following disclaimer. One, this is the audio version of their panel. Like most audio versions or audio panels that we present to all of you, some things tend to be edited. Now, mind you, nothing that they said were edited in any way, shape, or form. What usually is edited is if audio needs to be boosted, it's boosted. Or if there's too much dead air between certain aspects, then what happens is I clip that. But nothing what they say is cut out. But in that regard, what I did boost is a little bit of the audience interaction. For the most part, I think one interaction I had to either trim down or cut out completely due to the fact that there was an announcement going on when they were talking and you couldn't hear what they said. So that was cut out. But I will say this, the whole panel was, I won't say videotape, was visually recorded as well and put up on our YouTube channel. Therefore, I'll put a link to that in the description down below with everybody else's links so you could find everybody. And that being said, I think that's about it. Oh, yes. The other aspect of our disclaimers. This is their panel. Their viewpoints. Their everything. This is what they had to say. We have no control in regards to the panels. This is their content, not ours. We're just presenting it to all of you. If you have any questions, comments, or remarks, let me just say stick until the end of this episode for links to how you could reply to everything. So, see you guys and gals on the other side.
All right. Hey, everybody. Matt Burns and Mark Byrne of Absurd Productions Pictures. We are here at the Four State Comic Con. It's been a great weekend. We're towards the end of the weekend now. We're having a good weekend, and we sold some movies and whatnot. And I'm going to let this guy take over because he's the 20-year veteran here. He is a one-man army. He cuts, he edits, he produces, he writes. He does a little bit of everything. So I'm going to turn it over to this gentleman right here.
So I'm going to do a real quick kind of synopsis of us, and then we'll get into how to do low budget and all that. So on Friday night, we debuted, this is our current film, debuted Friday night at the Waynesboro Theater. It's called Brazen Impact. This is a crime action film. And I just brought a handful of others just to show you guys what we have. This is a short horror film. I tried to bring some of the horror ones. I know people like that. This is now part of Three on a Match, which is available streaming.
On Fearflix on Roku.
This is out of print, so it's only available at our table. This is the first feature film that I ever did. It's called Taste of Desperation. It's a black and white crime film, like a noir. And this was done in 2008. And this is a science fiction, like an Orwellian science fiction. It's got Lana Wood and Conrad Brooks in it. And this was done in 2016. And this was our film before
Brazen Impact. Right before Brazen Impact.
Remnants, which is a feature horror film. And this came out in 2020. So those are some of our things. And we started 20 years ago, and I started the company because I wanted to make a film I didn't bring. My first screenplay, I wanted to make that, and I tried to sell the screenplay. I couldn't do it. I was an extra in several movies, Enemy of the State and Runaway Bride and TV show Jag. I wasn't speaking, but I was an extra, and the reason I did the extra was not to become an actor. I did it because I thought I could sell my screenplay. So I get in there, I'm a room full of actors, and everybody in the room has a screenplay. And nobody's trying to be an actor. Everybody wants, oh, I've got you. And I was like, all right, this isn't going to work. I had fun doing it for a little while, but I got tired of sitting in a room for 12 hours to go stand outside for 10 minutes and them tell us to go home. So, you know. But anyway, the good thing about that was I learned how actors are treated and how to not treat actors. And that was a big lesson for me, to actually be in their shoes. And they don't like waiting around, even if they're being paid. So don't bring a bunch of actors to your set if you're not going to use them that day. That is... We've both seen that.
Oh, absolutely.
And that doesn't end well.
People get mad. People, yeah. and wouldn't you?
And rightly
wouldn't
so.
You guys?
Rightly
I mean, let's be real. I mean, we sit around for 10, 12 hours and then not get used. I mean, that's BS.
That's typical Hollywood. That's typical. That happened every time I was an extra. You would sit for hours and hours. I mean, they paid you and they fed you. But, you know, after a while, I got food at home. I didn't need to come all the way out here to sit. I want to be in the movie.
So, yeah, I mean, my time's worth more than a sandwich. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Worth more than a exactly. Sandwich. So what we do... this guy works
this
for
me. He's smart guy over here. Mm.
So what we do that's different than a lot of filmmakers, I won't say all, is we don't do just one genre. Yeah, we did a horror film, and I know most people in this region just do horror. And that's because a lot of filmmakers in this region, that's all they want to do. But for me, I want to do different things. I want to keep myself interested. I want to keep the cast interested. So we do all these different genres and that's kind of our differentiator. But I know the gist of this conversation is about low-budget filmmaking. So I'm just going to throw a few things out to you guys about ways you can lower your cost. So the first way to lower your cost is the more you can do, the less you got to pay other people to do. So when I started, I didn't know how to cut. I didn't know how to shoot. I learned all of that on my own time, on my own dime. I took courses. I was serious about it. So when you come to these actors and try to get them involved, one of the first things they're going to want to know is, are you serious about this? Are you just, so many people talk and then you see stuff out on IMDb. I know of 10 movies at least that never got made that have been listed out on IMDb. One of the actresses we work with, Mel Heflin, said she'd been like 20 movies of hers having never hit the street. So you got it. Your movie's got to get out there. If you keep not finishing things, people are going to quit wanting to work with you. So if you're really serious about doing this and keeping your price down, learn how to do something. I basically say you can not do one thing. So for me, I can't do music. As much as I'd love to, I can't do it. So I have to bring somebody in to do the music. But I do the cutting, the writing, the directing. I can be one of the actors. And I do all that because if I didn't do it, I'd have to pay somebody to do it. So then you got to have money coming in. So if you're trying to be low budget, the more you can do, the better. And another thing is, if this is shooting, imagine an iceberg. This tip is shooting. All of this is preparation. So when you come up to the set, don't come in there and not be prepared, because you're going to waste time. And this is when actors get pissed off. You're trying to decide what to do, and they're like, well, it's your thing. You ought to know what to do.
Why don't you know what to do?
Right. I mean, they're totally patient while you're setting up equipment. That takes time. When you're blocking, that takes time. But if you're trying to figure out what to do on the set,
forget it.
People don't like that. So when I'm doing a shoot, that whole week I'm busy. I'm busy prepping. I'm thinking about how I want to shoot it, how I want to arrange everything. But I'm not super, super firm. I'm firm about it, but I'm not 100%, because I like to be able to bring spontaneity in. So plan and then allow for spontaneity. Don't just show up and be spontaneous, because then if you haven't planned, you're going to waste a lot of people's time. So I find by leaving that area of spontaneity, there's always something that's going to happen that you didn't plan for that's better than what you planned for. And so some people are really rigid planners. No, we can't break off of this. We have to do this exact thing. And I think they leave a lot of stuff on the table. You know, there's a lot of things that You just, you know, you show up at a location and you're like, wow, I didn't realize they had this nice archway. Let's shoot there instead of here. If you're prepared, that's an easy fix.
But some people, it's like, oh, no, we have to stick to everything. Yeah. Which, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that either. But, you know, I guess try to be open to suggestion.
And you miss out on opportunities. And also, your actors, some directors are offended if their actors give them. I've never understood that. Your actors know the character. Once you give somebody a character, it's not yours anymore. It's theirs. They're going to be, I'm involved in all the characters, so I'm only going to put 1/20th into any one character. They're putting 100% in. So they're like, wow, you know, maybe when my character walks in, you know, I'll give you an example. In Brazen Impact, I'll give this little tidbit. Two of the characters, there's some chemistry there, I guess, between them. And they said, well, at the end, why don't we imply that the two of them got together? And I said, that's a great idea. It wasn't in the script, but I really liked that because I like a little glimmer of light sometimes.
They had just been through hell and back on this crazy mission or whatever.
Happened. And anyway, I don't want to give too much away. You guys see the movie. But if I had been too rigid on that, no, we can't do that. It's not in the script. It's like, no, that accentuated what I had and I think improved. So that's an example of being spontaneous and getting something. Let's see, other ways to be low budget. A simple one is don't overblow. Like, for example, a guy I used to know who didn't become a filmmaker, he wrote a script and he showed it to me. He had a train in it. And everybody that he showed this said the same thing. Where are you going to get a train? Oh, I don't know. Well, it's not realistic. You know, you got no money. And now you've got people running across a train like a Hollywood movie. You can't do that.
No.
And so don't put unrealistic, you know, when I write my script, I think about everything. Can I do this? You know, do I have a helicopter? No. Do I have a drone? Okay. So, you know, what are your limitations and keep it. And once again, if you want to spend a lot of money, you can do that. Some people, I've heard of people putting a mortgage on their house up to on a movie.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't do that.
Don't expect that you're going to become a millionaire making one of these movies. I know. What's the one in Maryland? Everybody, Sanchez's movie.
Blair Witch.
Everybody's going to say, but Blair Witch did it. Well, or Night of Living Dead did it.
One in a million.
So we just named two.
Yeah,
that's about it.
The two low budget movies that made it.
So I say, don't plan that your low budget movie's going to make a bunch of money. So spend accordingly.
So be prepared for that.
If you've got $1,000 that, you know, is extra money that it's not going to hurt you if you spend that and lose it, then spend $1,000. If you've got $500, spend that. If you've got $10,000, then good for you.
If you got $10, spend that.
Yeah. So manage your budget based on what you can.
I mean,
afford. Nowadays
you can shoot a movie on your phone. Nowadays you can shoot movies on an iPhone, and it's great quality. I mean, you can do that. I mean, it's not like before when you had to buy film and do all this. I mean, you don't have to shoot on film anymore.
Go with what you talk about. In essence, hope the best, expect the worst. That aspect.
Right.
And I don't know if you've seen the documentary in regards to, it's called Kung Fu Fist and Iron Fist Kung Fu Kid. And they kind of talk about that cell phones are available and recording equipment is cheaper. So therefore, someone taking the experiment of, I want to try what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or see if I can do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's free apps out there, and YouTube is a wonderful tool. YouTube, you can learn how to do all the stuff on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's tutorial videos, how to make fake blood, how to make fakes, everything. It's all on there. I mean, it's like, seriously, I mean, because I got a buddy of mine who's making a movie now, never done it before. He's a country musician. He was actually in Brazen Impact.
Right.
I mean, to use another example here, Wesley Spangler is his name. Mm-hmm. And he's learning how to do the whole damn movie by himself. And I mean, he's doing it? YouTube tours. And I mean, some of the raw footage that I've seen does not look bad. Doesn't look half bad.
And
so there is a way. Where there's a will, there is a way.
And if you want to go a step up from cell phones, go on eBay. Look at used equipment.
You get a 4K camcorder on Amazon for $150.
Yeah. And if you want the
4K.
Bigger cameras, like I shoot on the bigger Canon cameras, the first one cost me $2,000, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The second one I bought for $800. Now you could go on eBay, probably pick it up for $200.
Yeah, because now the technology.
Now that you have the 4K.
Yeah, 4K
or whatever. So that makes
sense. I mean, like, again, you can get a portable 4K camcorder on Amazon right now for $150.
Okay.
That's all you need. Or you just do it on your cell phone.
And
Yeah, pawn shop's another option. Yeah, pawn shop's another option.
Yeah, that's another good place. There you go. We have a pawn broker
in the crowd.
That's right. We've got plenty of cameras down there right now.
Probably. Yeah, I got quite a few. Yeah, I got quite a few. So make a good deal.
I don't feel like you got to go out and buy something new if something cheap is out there. Lighting is cheaper, much cheaper now than it is. I just bought a light kit for under $200.
Yeah, you can get light kits.
I bought a used one five or six years ago. I paid $500.
Yeah, there you go. A YouTube. There's another YouTube video. How to make your own indoor lighting rig for $50. Mm-hmm. It looks almost like cinematic lighting. You can't tell the difference.
Yeah. So you got to be imaginative.
If you're willing to work, where there's a will, there's a way. That's the motive. Yeah. That's the point that we're trying to drive home.
The first part of that was the most important thing we've said today. If you're willing to work.
It's not playtime.
It's not just going to happen. You're going to have to put in hours and hours. How many hours do I put in? I don't even want to say.
Yeah.
Hours and hours cutting, writing,
shooting,
prepping for a shoot. All of that testing equipment, you've got to put in a bunch of time, and you got to be willing to do it. And that's why so many people. I've been in this 20 years. I've seen people come and go because they get in
thinking, I'm gonna be rich tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't have to do anything. I'm just gonna turn the camera on, and everything's just gonna fall in place, and the money's gonna start rolling in. Literally, people believe that.
Yeah, people literally think that's gonna happen. It's like
we're here to say no, Daddy. No.
Yeah, I mean, unless you get that one in a million Blair Witch Project, you know, what have you. I mean, or Paranormal Activity was another one. The first one was shot on a very low budget.
But I will say this. The positives are, if you like doing this,
you'll love it. You have a hobby for life.
It's fun. You're going to meet a lot of friends. I mean, in the last 5 years, I don't think I've made a friend outside the film business, because that's all I do, really. So
in these conventions,
most of those are people from the
you guys, thank you all so much.
You're going to meet a lot of new people that you have things in common with. You're going to have fun together, and once again, you're going to weed out people. There's going to be a lot of BSers.
There's going to be fakers, and there's going to be
folks that aren't in this long term, and that's okay.
And sometimes people just want to do it once. They're like, you know what? Yep. I was in a movie. Great, moving on.
Yep. And as Chris here will say, we've worked with and Charming as well. We've worked with people in their first role. Don't be afraid to use somebody that's never done it before. If you have an intuition like Charming, for example, just knowing her personality, I knew she'd be good in that role, even though she never acted before. And don't give somebody too complex of a role if they haven't done it. Give them something that they can handle, you know. And then if you've got a really experienced actor, don't give them the extra part.
Yeah.
I mean,
a lot of people make that mistake. It's like, why would you get like a guy who has 50 IMDb credits and have him getting out of a car? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
And then another thing that I learned early on was, be careful about putting your friends in stuff. Now, I put a bunch of my friends in things.
And thankfully, some of them work out.
But early on, they didn't work out because I realized I was trying to talk people into something. Don't talk people into it. If they're not interested,
move along.
You're not helping them or yourself.
You're wasting your time and theirs.
And if your friends tell you, well, I need to have a drink to loosen up, no. Then they don't need to do it. Because I made that mistake one time. And next thing I know, the guy's on his fourth drink.
And he's slurring his words.
And I'm like, all right, he's done. But that was my fault. I shouldn't have ever put him in there. But I learned those lessons well before we met. Now, my friends that I do put in now usually ask me about it, and they want to be in it. And I said, you want a line? I'll give a novice a line or two. But for a lot of them, no, I don't need a line. I just want to be in something. I'll be in the background. Or, yeah, I'd love to have a line, or I'd love to have a character. And you know your friends. You know who
can do it.
Who's gregarious and outgoing and funny
and who's
and
shy and who's more reserved, shy, whatever you want to call it.
They're probably not going to be your best one. They're the one to have the non-speaking role in the background.
Yeah, yeah. They're the ones sitting at the table, sitting in the background of the bar, basically, or whatever, having a drink.
So we went over equipment. I'm just trying to think if there are any high-level things that ways to save money. Locations is another thing. You can spend a ton of money on locations.
Or you can get free ones like we do.
Yeah. And just, once again, you just talk to people.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to tell you no. They're going
to
say,
don't be afraid to hear no. Yeah. If you're afraid to hear no, don't do this.
And some people are going to go, yeah, you can use my location. Just don't show the sign and don't put it in the credits.
Or some of them are like, please show the sign. Yeah. We want promotion.
And put it in the credits.
If it's a store or whatever. Yeah. They're like, oh my God, please do. Yeah.
And we don't care. We'll do whatever they want. I'll tell them. I'll put your logo in the credit, you know, or whatever, your tagline. Or I won't list it. And I've had some, no, don't even list us in. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for Brazen Impact, we had a great location for the end. I mean, it was a club that was used in the movie Sweet Dreams that was about Patsy Cline back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Rainbow Road Club, and it was where she actually sang back in the 60s. That's why they shot the movie there with Jessica Lange. But yeah, I mean, they were all about it. And there's some bars you walk into, they're like, what are you talking about? Get out of here. Yeah. What are you talking about? Get out of here. I mean, we don't want you. We don't need that or whatever.
Yeah, so unless your location is critical to, and I'll give you an example, Brazen Impact. I had, part of what held this up for a couple of years is I had two locations in California. I'll just tell the story since we're not using them. I had a friend of my wife's brother, I misunderstood. I thought he was the historian at Alcatraz. So I thought we had an inn on Alcatraz. Well, I later found out he worked in the bookshop.
Yeah, he worked in the souvenir store.
So that was out. And then I wanted to shoot down in Venice where Orson Welles shot Touch of Evil and maybe get a celebrity there who, you know, that would have cost a ton of money, and that's why I kept putting it off. And then I just realized one day, I told him, I said, I'm the only person that cares about that. No one else is going to care. That's not going to make or break this movie, whether we shot one little scene that was probably going to be 2 minutes long.
Yeah, I mean, for $2,000.
Yeah, and that was going to blow the budget of the movie, and that's why I kept delaying the movie, because I was, all right, I need to build up some money for that. And no, I mean, once I dropped that, then we could finish the movie. You know, it was done. There's Ghost Rider.
I was going to say, that's sick. I was looking at Ghost Rider, and I was like,
So if your movie's a prison escape film, then you got to have a prison.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so what you know, then you might have to pay because you got to have that. But
you don't need to interrupt when Jason was doing Small Town Heroes, he came up to me and said, "You have some comp footage that I might need." He says, "I'm on duty. If you need it,
take it.
A little bit of credit.
Yep.
That's it. Just give a little bit of credit. Do it. You know, that's it.
It's yours. Yeah.
And people are real. What's the word? Not friendly, but real cooperative and commingling. That people like to be involved, and like just your example, people are free to you can use that, and you know you'll be surprised how many of these places you go to talk to them about shooting. Yeah, absolutely, that'd be fun. Yeah, da, da, da. I think you get yes more than no.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, Remnants. We shot in a freaking historic inn in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
That Abraham Lincoln was. They have pictures of Lincoln right across the street during the Civil War. But I mean, but thankfully we knew the people.
Yeah.
they were the second and third name actors. Yeah. I guess that kind of helped a little.
That helped a little bit.
But I mean, yeah, our friend Cutler. But still, though, I mean, people generally, you know, I've noticed when, because I do a lot of the location scouting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking probably 7-8 times out of 10 they say yes.
Yeah.
I'd say 7-8 times. Easy,
I agree.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably closer to 8. But I mean.
Yeah.
So like I said, but yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, and I mean, that's the whole thing, you know, just. Don't be unrealistic, and you won't have a problem. You won't have a problem with any of this.
Be willing to work. Don't be unrealistic. Manage to your budget, and whatever your budget is. If your budget is zero, then manage to zero. Borrow the equipment from a friend.
Yeah,
rent the equipment.
Get your friend. You know, you get a couple friends to do a short. Make shorts. Shorts cost no money, and it's a great way to learn. You know, make a 15, 20-minute film. Stick it on. I mean, you have YouTube. You have Vimeo. You have all these great streaming sites. I mean, you don't have to go. You know, balls. You don't have to make, you know, Avatar the first time out. You don't have to make Avatar or the Avengers the first time out.
And I recommend that. My first film was a short. Before, this is the first feature, but I did a short. I had the script already written, and when I formed the company,
and it was like a few of your friends.
It was like 8 people, and we shot in 2 locations. I did have to rent the room for like $100. That was our expense.
It was $100.
And you know, once again, I recommend doing a short to start off. Do something you like. Do it short. Put it out on YouTube. Let people see it. Let people see your work. You know, because that's the first thing actors want to know. What have you done? Well, you've done this. You know, well, I haven't done anything. Why are you talking to me about this? Yeah, I've done 3 or 4 movies where it didn't even come out.
Right. Yeah.
But you go, no, I've done a little short. It's out on YouTube.
At least you've done something.
And they can watch it and go, okay, this
and then you can build
serious.
Yourself up to a feature.
Yeah.
That way you make connections. It's good.
So people want to believe that you're serious, and people will know if you're not. They will.
Absolutely.
I've got.
You learn.
We've
you
both gotten.
You live and
really
learn.
Good radars, you know. About.
Yeah, you live and learn. That's
BS.
For sure. Yeah.
And we can sense it pretty well quickly now.
Sadly.
So I don't. You guys don't have to ask questions, but I do want to open it up. If anybody had a question, if not, we'll keep jabbering.
If somebody in the back gets all jabbering the wire, like, so you
can just
be able to.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
All right. So I guess. Oh,
okay,
yeah, we
got
go.
One.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you want to hand her the mic? Well, the good news is making money, not a lot of money, but making money, I think, has gotten easier now because of Amazon's decision to give up owning all, basically all the distribution. And now we've got all these new distributors coming up. All it, like, if you got a Roku, there's tons of new channels coming up. And so there's tons of ways. Now, you're not going to make a lot of money on a lot of those channels because they're not making a lot of money. They're making ad revenue. But once again, if it's your first movie and you just want to get it out there because you're trying to draw people, and I think this is a, you're going up a mountain, you're climbing. So you're not going to start at the peak. So maybe that first one, you know, they give you $100 or $200 to put it on, you know, some little Roku channel and they make ad revenue. Go for it. Get your, then you can tell your friends, look, my movie's out there. I have a distributor, da da da. And then the next one,
you can get better actors, but because after you made something, actors trust you a little more. Even if you don't have a budget, you know. I mean, most of our actors work for free. I mean, people enjoy doing it. Once you get something out there, then people start to trust you a little more. Like, okay, you know, these people are at least they did something. Mm-hmm. It's something. That's the important thing.
So this was the first film I did. It's a black and white noir. I'm not going to make money on that, okay? I just wanted to do it. This is an Orwellian science fiction. It's kind of a complex story. Not going to make money on that. This is a horror movie with a clown and spooks.
And ghosts. And
you're going to make money on
that. You're going to make money on that. Plus, she was in it. I mean, look how awesome she is.
Now, this one is a crime movie, and I do believe it's possible to make money on a crime movie.
It's a broad genre.
We had a ton of people at the showing.
Yeah, we had 120 people Friday night at our premiere.
At a local theater.
Yes, at the Waynesboro Theater on Main Street, up the road a little bit. And we had you know, some good. Again, you know, this is the 12th movie you've made.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, by the 12th movie, people are, you know, people who have done Hollywood movies, like we had Ellen Udy,
yeah,
who was in My Bloody Valentine, the original. She was in Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, believe it or not. I was going to say, yes, she was. What was her name on that? Now I'm blanking what her name was, but she was only 50.
I've never 50, seen it.
She was only 59 episodes. I mean, she was like one of the featured cast or whatever.
My sister watched it.
Yeah, she
knew who she was.
Yeah, if I said her name, she would probably know who she. Yeah, you would probably know. I was gonna say.
And
yeah,
we also had Sharon Smith from Dark Shadows.
From Dark Shadows.
She played Barnabas' little sister, if any of you are familiar with that.
With the black and white, the old black and white TV show. But yeah, so I mean, so there are things. There are, you know. Well, you can move up. You can move up, and so I mean, but you're probably not gonna make money right away. Unfortunately.
No.
I mean, unfortunately for that. I mean, again, and like you said, there is YouTube. You can build up your views on there and possibly get paid through that as well. That's an option.
They have a pay thing.
They
now.
Do.
Vimeo has a pay thing now. And you know, the problem with some of those things, I haven't looked into Vimeo in a couple of years because when I looked into it last, they wanted money up front. They wanted several hundred dollars up front. And I'm like, all right, if I'm making 5 cents a play or 10 cents a play, it's going to take me a lifetime.
You're never going to lose money on that.
So be very careful about spending money up front on promises of all this, and then you get your, you know, Amazon. I used to get like a few bucks, $10 a month maybe, and
if that,
they would literally keep everything. And I don't know why they gave it up. I mean, they were keeping everything on the DVDs. I'd sell a DVD for $10. You know what I made? 50 cents. Amazon kept $9.50. I mean, and they gave it up. They said no.
It's like why would you give that up? Anybody else would be a gold mine.
At first I was like, what are we gonna do? And now 2 years later, I'm glad they gave it up. We got so many more opportunities now.
Yeah, we got. I mean, you got Tubi, you got Plex.
Yeah,
you got a lot of these. I mean, Tubi's a big. I mean, that's free. Anybody can download that. Download it right now on your phone.
Yeah, Tubi. Probably most people have it.
That's a great option.
There's a place. There's a couple of places out there where you can put your film, and then folks will pick it up. There's a whole bunch of distributors. Most of them are horror only, but there's a couple of them that'll do other things. And you can reach out to all those distributors. Just don't be surprised when you don't hear a word back from them. I had a big list, and if somebody said yes or no, I kept them. If they didn't answer, I crossed them off, and I'm never going to contact them again. Because some of them were courteous enough to tell me, hey, appreciate you to send in the film, but this doesn't work for us. And I said, no, thank you. Thank you for letting me know. And I've kept them on the list, and we do the next horror movie, I'll hit them up again.
Right.
But those other guys that didn't get back with me personally, I'm just not going to waste my time with them again. Because by the time we do that, there's going to be 20 more distributors out there that don't exist today.
That don't exist now.
And I'm going to hit them up, not this guy that didn't
hit me up. Hell with them. Hell with them.
So I hope we answered. Did we answer it somewhat?
Yeah.
Okay. I did think of one other thing. If you get into this and you're going to want to stay in it long term and you're not looking to make a millionaire, then do what you like. And like for me personally, if I had to do nothing but horror, I wouldn't be still doing this. I would be bored. And not that I don't like horror, but I just don't want to do the same thing over and over again. I do something totally different. Like we did a horror movie, and then we did a comedy, and then we did a crime. And so I want to do something different to keep myself fresh, to keep the cast fresh. But that's me. You guys don't have to do that. If you love horror, and that's all, I've talked to several filmmakers, that's all they want to do.
If you love drama, if you love comedy, if that's all you want to do.
I know filmmakers that do nothing but drama and comedy. I've talked to them. They go, I don't have any interest in horror. I'm not going to do it. I'm not interested in crime. I like to tell stories about people. I like drama and comedy. And they do well. Because they do what the audience and the actors know, that that's what they care about. So even if you differ in what you care about, that person's passion is going to come through. And that person's apathy is going to come through. Oh, I'm doing a horror film because that's the only way I can make money. Well, that's a real great way of drawing people in.
Yeah, it's like, really? And, of course, there is crowdfunding now, too. I mean, we should talk about that. Maybe that's the next best
thing. So that is the way to, I'm not going to say make money, but that's the way to fund your movie. Now, let's be honest. There's a lot of filmmakers out there that pocket a lot of that money. And I personally don't feel that I'm not going to do that.
I mean, we've never caught anybody in the act, but yeah, there's definitely some. I mean, no offense. You see a movie that raised $10,000, $20,000, and it looks like it was shot on. It looked like it was shot on somebody's like shaky cell phone. Yeah. I mean, you got to ask questions like, okay, where did the money go for this exactly? I mean, it's like, did it buy you a new car or something? Because that's the only thing I can figure.
Oh, sure.
I was talking to somebody the other day, yesterday, in regards to one of the perks that I was looking at for crowdfunding. But it was like a bunch of fan film.
Beware of fan films too. Just that we'll get on that. That'll be the next. That'll be the next thing or whatever. Yeah.
The perk one. It looked like yours. Oh, half of Michael Myers' costume. It looked like something you could buy
at,
Spirit of Halloween.
Yeah, or like the Dollar General. Yeah, I think it was. It probably was.
And it was like $300. Who's wearing it? Drew Barrymore?
Yeah, it's like who's wearing it? James Jude Courtney from the present Halloween? From the present Halloween movie? James Jude
but
Courtney?
It's like, yes. I might want to help you raise money for a project, but why am I getting something I could go to Spirit of Halloween?
Exactly. And get for $50. Right? Yeah. For 50, yeah, for tops. $50 tops.
A poster or a signed DVD.
Exactly.
Or something like that.
Exactly. And I've lost my train here. I was getting back to crowdfunder. Yeah. There's another trend where people pay money to be a dead body, or even people pay to be the lead. Now, if you want to pay, it's your money. You can do whatever. You can light it on fire if you want. If you want to pay to be a dead body, God bless you. But when you have a film company that's going to bring somebody that's never acted in to be the lead because they put up $2,000, do you want to see that movie? I don't.
Not really.
I mean, that's crazy.
I want to see an actor play that. I want to see an actor play that role. I don't want to see Joe Schmo play that role.
Right.
I mean, somebody who's never been in front of the camera in their life.
We've never done, in 11 films, we've never done a crowdfunder. We're considering doing, not for the next film, but for the one after, we're considering doing it. And if we do it, all of that money is going to either go to that film or on to the next one. None of it's going in my pocket. I have another job I can make money on. I don't need to make money on people's crowdfunder. I don't think that's right. But what we'll do is we're going to have, for example, we did a movie called Bigfoot. I've got two Bigfoot suits. I'm got a couple years to decide, but I'm probably going to let those go in a crowdfunder. I've got a bunch of props from, I didn't bring that
all
tape.
These movies. Yeah,
I
yeah.
did a bar movie where people gave me these really cool, it holds a half gallon, and it's made out of wood. It's probably from the 40s, and you pour it, you can flip it up from the bottom and fill a glass, and somebody's gonna want that for their house bar. I've got all kinds of really cool. I've got things where you put a bottle in and you lift the thing up and it's in there. And once again, I got a basement full of stuff. I've already used it once. I'm probably not gonna use it again. So I'm gonna probably provide stuff like that. Props from actual movies.
And they're from movies. They're from movies.
Maybe, maybe what we put the movie with the prop. So here's the prop. Here's the movie it was with. Package deal.
Yeah, for $50 you get that and the DVD or whatever.
Yeah.
The DVD or whatever.
So that's the kind of thing if we do it that we're gonna do. And why? Well, so if we haven't done a crowdfunder this long, why are we gonna do it now? Well, the reason is we'll get all that extra money, then we'll pay for a location.
Yeah.
Then we'll pay to bring bigger celebrities.
But pay to bring in, some.
We might have to fly somebody from LA,
right, from
or
LA
from Chicago, or New York, or whatever. So on our budgets, we don't do that. We try to use more regional, mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, people. I mean, we were lucky with LN because she was already here for a convention. Here. She was here for a convention, and she agreed to do the movie.
Did you have a question?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, bud?
Well, like, if it's a short, you're not going to get a distraction.
Probably going to be a few, too.
Good thing about a short, too, the other thing I didn't really go into was film festivals. I submit to one film festival who's been very loyal to us, but I don't submit to any other film festivals because I'm like, why am I going to pay you $50 to then show my movie and make money on it? Now, because I've been doing this for a long time, 20 years, I don't care about that anymore. But if I was starting out today, yes, I would pay the $50 because I want publicity.
Yeah.
It's worth $50 to me. And festivals don't, the other reason I don't do with festivals is a festival might have, what, 5-6 features over the whole weekend? They're going to have hundreds of shorts because shorts are quick. They can have more of them. And the more admissions they get, the more $50 money, that's what they're making money on these film festivals. So they love shorts. So if you have a short.
Well, they'll take any of them.
Yeah, put that out. Get a couple of shorts. Put your laurel on the box. Well, you probably wouldn't have a box on a short. But you can put your laurel on the trailer and all that. And then put it out on YouTube. Hey, we're in this film festival. Da, da, da. That's all going to generate interest. And then when you have your feature done, then you can tell all that to the distributor. Hey, I won an award, or I had my short screened at 5 film festivals, and I've got 850 views on YouTube. All that's going to help get that distributor to take you
interesting.
Seriously.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
Repeat what you say. Yeah.
So if you do it very cost-effectively, the way you guys explained earlier, and I feel I'm ready for a distributor, how do I find one and convince a distributor?
Well, generally what you'll do is you'll submit it to them through, most of the stuff's online now. You'll have to, I'll get into the computer part in a minute, but yeah, you'll go through whatever their process is. You'll submit it to them that way, and you'll hope that they'll get back to you. How does he find
a distributor?
You search, search online for, like if you do a horror film, search for horror film distributors. Word of mouth is a good thing. Talk to filmmakers. Come to an event like this if there's filmmakers and ask them, well who have you worked with? Word of mouth is a really good way. And that's my favorite way. Because then somebody tells me, hey, look, I was with this distributor. I'm not using him again. And they didn't promote.
And this is why. Yeah,
and they tell you why. And then, all right, great. I'm not going to waste my time with them, you know?
Well, you just gave me another idea.
No problem.
What are the things you should look for in a distributor and the things you want to avoid?
Well,
like you said, you wouldn't use one.
Yeah.
But before, what did he do or not do that you don't want to use?
Well, the examples I was given is they felt like they could promote the movie better than the distributor did, which that's not a positive thing for a distributor. They felt like the distributor didn't do enough for them. And they felt like for 5 years, they could have promoted the movie. So they were happy to get the movie back and put it on their own website and felt like they could promote it through Facebook better than the distributor. I don't know. I never worked with that distributor, so I can't say that. But that mostly the negatives is word of mouth, or you're going to find out yourself. In terms of what do I look for, I look at what they've done. I search on them and I find out what they've done. And if they're all their movies, like Remnants that I did, it's a real story. So if all of their movies are ripoffs of Friday the 13th and that's all they like, then they don't want this. I've literally had people tell me this is too complex of a story. Well, if it's too complex, if it's not complex enough, I'm not going to even do it because I'm going to be bored. Why am I going to do something everybody that'll
lead else has done?
That'll lead into fan film.
Fan film, yeah. Here,
why am I
going to
do
that,
what
yeah.
everybody else has done? And I did think of one other important point before we get into fan films. IT. I spend 60% of my time doing IT. Because once again, if I don't do it, I got to pay somebody to do it. And I'm not an IT person. I hate it. I'm screaming and yelling. I'm cussing. I'm ready to smash my head into the wall. But if I don't do it, I've got to pay somebody $100, $150 an hour. To load the stuff up. So I have learned how to do it. Once again, YouTube will tell you, how do I convert a film from this to this? There's a YouTube video. How do I load up something? There's a YouTube video. But you need to learn about, there's a thing called codecs. It's like MP4 versus MOV. There's really good things out on the internet that in layman's terms will describe all the differences and why you would use what. And these distributors are going to tell you, I need a MP4 with this and this at this, all these specs, and you're going to have to learn all that stuff, or someone on your team is going to have to learn all how to do all that stuff. And I've learned how to do it because I want to do this, and that's the way it's going. It's going more and more and more IT. I could see a couple years from now being 75% IT.
Wow.
I don't like that, but...
Yikes. Yikes.
It's just getting more and more like that. You know, so that is one of the things. If you're not inclined to that, maybe you've got a friend that wants to partner with you and they handle that part. You know, I don't know. That is getting to be a bigger and bigger thing, I think.
So it's good having friends that are really, you know, literate.
Yeah. But they once again, they got to be serious about this. And they might help you. Now, maybe you have a different friend each time help you. That's one way.
And the other thing is, too, it's like, you know, you got to get friends who are interested in what you're doing, because if you don't, they're going to spend they're gonna spend 3 years editing the thing. Oh, and then you're going to forget about it.
I know a guy who has been, his editor has been working on something, I'm going to say 8 years.
Wow.
I'm not going to say who it is, but there's an actor who was in two of my movies who died about 7 or 8 years ago, and that actor is in the movie. That's how long it's been. And he told me if he had it to do over again,
he was old then.
He would edit it himself. But he already signed a deal for this guy to do it, and he's been waiting for years on this movie. And I just.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, just speaking for me personally, that's why I learned how to do it. I like editing. I think it's fun. I don't think IT's fun, but I learned how to do it because I'm going to do it. I might bang my head into the wall until I'm bloody, but I'm going to do it. Other people just go, you know what? I'm done. I quit.
I can't do this.
How many people we know quit on a movie?
On just one movie.
And that's where I'm glad I was an extra in those things, because I got my shoes in an actor. And if I'm an actor and you're quitting halfway through, I'm pissed. Because, you know, I gave my time. I didn't quit. I showed up for all these shoots and got in makeup and learned all these lines. And now you're quitting halfway through because you had a couple problems with IT. You know?
Yeah.
People don't want to hear that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, but again, it's work. It's fun, but it's work. So, you know, don't let anybody kid
you. This is not a lazy. And I hate to. I know Matt probably correctly using. According to the IRS, it is a hobby. But I feel like I don't want to say it's a lifestyle, but it kind of is. I mean, because, you know, you meet all your friends are in this, and we all have that in common.
We've all been hanging out with them at the table all weekend. And, I mean, we met you. You've been by the table. She was in one of the movies. She was in our film Remnants.
I think a lot of people feel a kinship because, we all
have a lot in common.
A lot of people feel disenfranchised by... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if you feel like, all right, a group of people a lot of times sitting around, you know, we don't really have that much in common. They're talking about this. I don't really care about that. Talking about this. I don't really care about that. And then here's something you do care about. So then when all of us are in a room, we're having fun because we all relate. And that people get excited and all that. And, you know, I just think there's a lot of oddballs and people that are kind of on the outskirts of normal. I'm not going to say normal society, but kind of, sort of. And I don't mean that as an insult, because I'm talking about me. So,
right, man.
When you find those people, you'll make a lot of friends doing this, because you've got something in common, and that's so key to a friendship.
You're so determined to get this done and get it made and get it out.
When you're in your 20s, drinking is your
drinking, chasing women.
Yeah, but when you get older, it's like, okay, you got to get them the next morning, go to work. You go find that drinking. You can still drink a beer or two, but you're not gonna be able to drink 10 beers and go to work. You know, when you get older, it just ain't happening. So
once you hit about 34, 30, 35, it's like, okay,
we're done with
it. But then on the other side, like where she was, how would someone like that say, like, get into a movie with no acting experience?
Here's what several people have done. They've come to the booth. And they've said, look, I'd like to get in. I'd like to be involved. Would you?
Even if it's just an extra role.
Yeah, I say, hey, give me your information. And I'll ask questions.
Okay, we'll talk. Yeah,
are you willing to travel? You know, are you willing to drive a couple hours?
Are you
willing to
go this?
So yeah, definitely come by our booth afterwards and let's get your content.
Don't worry about me.
We're up by Nancy Ann Ritter. It's booth E4.
E4. It's on the corner. It says Absurd Production Pictures on the banner.
Right.
Yeah, it's a big banner like this one or whatever. Yeah, you'll see it. We're on the corner.
Did we answer everything? Okay. Awesome. I wanted Matt
we're getting ready to, I was gonna say, we got about looks like 10 more minutes or so.
Okay, maybe. But I think you should touch on fan films because that's important.
One more topic I want to go over, and that's fan films. They're very popular in the horror community. I mean, like, these guys are raising all this money, and technically, if you're making a fan film, you can't have a budget. That's illegal, actually. But
you don't own the copyright.
You don't own the copyright too. Let's say this guy's got a Superman shirt on, and you want to make a Superman fan film. Great. But you can't spend any money on
it.
You put it on YouTube, you have to give it away or whatever. Because again, I'm sorry, Charmigo. Doing their own idea of a story, like say for instance, again, let's say Superman. Superman is a DC character, and he's a copyrighted character. And say you want to make your own Superman, or say you want to have say you want to have Superman fight Spider-Man, let's cross over, whatever, you know, just make it more ridiculous or basically whatever. But you could do it.
Yeah.
Now you couldn't pay any money. You couldn't do anything.
Can't make any money.
Yeah. You could spend money. But you can't make money.
They will sue you.
Yeah. I mean, they got
a lot bigger pockets than you do.
Yeah. They will win. They will win.
Disney is particularly bad about that, but they're all.
Way worse.
Who?
Paramount. How dare you make it in the first place?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, technically, I don't even think you're supposed to be making it in the first place. But I mean, there are ways around it. Yeah.
You could parody, but you're not going to make money on it.
Yeah. That's the thing I was going to say.
Because if you use a copyrighted character, unless you have permission.
Like, I mean, I know, like, let's make an example, Scream and Scary Movie or whatever. Now, Scary Movie, they paid for, and of course, you know, they kind of made him a lot different, Ghostface, a lot different, Mask was different and whatnot. But yeah, they paid for that. They paid for that.
And that was made by Hollywood.
So yeah, I was going to say, that was made by a big budget production company as well. I want to say it was Lionsgate.
I will say one positive for fan films. If you were a new filmmaker, you didn't have any ideas. But you just want to get your feet wet and get started, and you'll care about making money because you just want to throw something up on YouTube. That might be the one time that it'd be smart, right?
Yeah.
Is I'm just gonna do something because I can't think of anything. I just want to get something out there. I want to learn with the camera and all that. I just want something to do. I still wouldn't do it because I just stay away.
If you make a dime, be prepared to pay a dollar.
Why I write my own stuff because
it's better to write your own.
I wrote it. Nobody could say they own the copyright. I wrote it.
Yeah. Case in point, fan films are a very dangerous.
I personally wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but that's just us. We're not telling you not to, but we kind of are telling you not to, I guess, for lack of more. All right, so we're about to wrap this thing up. I think
if you guys want to find out about us, we're at absurdproductionspictures.com on the internet. We're at booth E4 here with the big banner.
Yeah, we'll be here from another couple of... Yeah, Facebook, Absurd Productions.
Facebook page, Absurd Productions Pictures.
Yeah.
So come check us out. We got all the trailers out there. And come by the booth if you want. And I guess that's about it.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Let me know. I'll tell you where to find, because I'm recording everything, photographs.
Yeah, if you watch the video, he'll have the hell of all the stuff up on the video.
The link out. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that panel. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or what have you, you're more than welcome to send any of them our way via email, which is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or put them in the pinned post on our Facebook page, which is at facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. And if you're listening to us on your desktop laptop and you want to listen to us on the go, we're available on usual platforms, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon, a whole slew of places, including Spotify and Pandora, apparently. And all these links, and plus our social media links, including our YouTube links, will be in the description down below, wherever that might be on the platform. If they are not clickable, you're more than welcome to head on over to our main website, which is TheLongCoatMafia.podbean.com, and just click on any of the episodes to bring up the description, and the links will be clickable there, because we had to revamp our website. Therefore, there's a whole new way of doing things now. That was not our doing. It was mainly Podbean's doing in regards to how more efficiently the websites now have to look, I guess. But also, before I forget, before we go, if you hear any adverts on this episode or any episodes until we tell you that we are monetizing our content, we're not. We did not choose to put any advertisements on this episode. That is the platform you got this off of choosing. It's their choosing, not ours. Meaning if you listen to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and you hear ads on this episode, whether it's the beginning, middle, or end, we didn't put those there. We didn't authorize that. We're getting $0 off this. So if that's be the case, let us know. That way we know. So either way, see y'all next episode whenever they, again, see you next episode wherever that might be. So that being said, I'm the Reverend Godfather, and I am out of here.
You've been listening to the Long Coat Mafia Podcast, the internet's most hated and mafia-themed geek podcast.